and it's 8:50. Time for our pre-opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Tuesday morning, everyone. Yesterday afternoon, after the closing bell, NAS reported that 56% of the U.S. soybean crop was in good to excellent condition, unchanged from the previous week. In Iowa, 72% of the crop was rated good to excellent. That's one percentage point lower than last week. While in Illinois, 56% of the crop is rated in good to excellent condition. That's up one percentage point from a week ago. The Midwest direct hog markets today are called mostly steady, but weaker tones are seen in some locations. Terminals are called mostly steady with tops from $40 to $44. Peoria is called steady today with a top price of $40. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Monday, September 10th, negotiated swine purchases were $16,409. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $52 to $63.51. The weighted average, $59.59, a gain of 85 cents from last Friday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $40.76 to $48.71, and the weighted average was $46.27. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $15,803. The base price range, $51 to $66.50. The weighted average, $62.68, a gain of 6 cents from last Friday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $40.59 to $51.50, and the weighted average was $47.34. Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave. And as we look at the weather scenario this morning, starting out at least in the United States, the big picture is that as we look at the next 10 days to 2 weeks, the weather will generally be favorable for crop maturation and harvesting, and also for the planting of winter wheat. So that's the big picture. There's no real problems coming up in the weather. There will be in places some short-term issues, and we'll talk about some of them. First off, for the Corn Belt, we had some rain move across portions of the Corn Belt overnight, and that rain area is really dissipating now, and there are a few spotty showers in Ohio at the moment. They're very light. Some rainfall did get a little bit heavier for a time across northern Illinois yesterday evening, and saw even the baseball game in Chicago was delayed for a couple hours after field got muddy from playing several hours in the rain. So a good soaker in parts of northern Illinois. Officially, though, Chicago O'Hare only picking up a quarter of an inch, but some places got a bit more. Much of Iowa sharing in that rain. Wisconsin, many places in Wisconsin picking up between a half an inch and 1 inch over the last 24 hours. And same thing for Michigan. But as this area pushed farther south, the coverage and intensity of the rainfall generally decreased, so only a few hundredths of an inch over portions of central Indiana into southwestern Ohio. Does look like, though, Evansville picked up a little over a half an inch in southwest Indiana. But rainfall was widespread across the Midwest, with only portions of Illinois and Indiana really getting out a whole lot. But now that's done. We have another front that will be coming through with touching off maybe a few spotty showers around Friday. There could be some Sunday or Monday here and there. But by and large, we're looking at dry weather across the Midwest over the next 10 days. Enough that nothing more than some minor interruptions are expected. So that should be good for field work. Temperatures, as you've probably noticed, have turned a bit cooler. And we've got the first surge of cool air pushing in right now. And we're going to have low temperatures the next couple of mornings in the 40s in most production areas, even some upper 30s from the northwest corner of Illinois back into portions of Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. And then another cold front will come through Thursday night into Friday, behind which the coldest air of the season so far. High temperatures will mainly be in the 60s, with 70s confined basically to the southern parts of the Midwest Corn Belt on Saturday. And overnight low temperatures could get down to frosty levels in the extreme upper Midwest. Now, right now, we're not anticipating a major frost problem. We are watching the situation, though. But it looks like Saturday morning, much of Minnesota and Wisconsin, at least northwest of Madison, could have a frost. Some of this could touch far northern Iowa. We're not expecting a hard freeze in any of the Corn Belt growing areas, but a frost is possible up that way. Now, on Friday morning, the frost area will be farther northwest, but the end of the growing season will come to parts of the spring wheat belt of the U.S. and Canadian prairie, as a freeze will probably push into parts of Montana, North Dakota, maybe far northwestern South Dakota, and frost ringing that area. So some colder air is coming in. It looks like it'll turn milder next week. In the Delta and Southeast, they've started to pick up some showers, and there could be some delays continuing for a few days in the Southern Delta and Southeastern states. Now, many of those areas have been very wet of late, and some rain is beneficial for the overall picture there, although maybe the timing isn't the best for that area, as they've already had the crops really suffer due to drought. In South America, some rain has come to Argentina. About 60% of the belt got a decent amount of rain yesterday, the wheat belt, that is. So after a very long dry period, they're finally getting some moisture, and some more is expected as we head through the end of the week into the weekend. That's the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Monday overnight trading session, Kansas City September wheat opened at 833, up 3, last trade up 4.75. December opened at 829 and a quarter, up a quarter, last trade up 4.75. September wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade opened at 850, up 1, last trade up 6. December, 862, up 1, last trade down 1. July, 591 and a half, down a half, last trade down a quarter. September corn opened at 329 and three quarters, unchanged, last trade unchanged. December, 344 and three quarters, down 2 1/4, last trade down 1 3/4. July, 381 and a half, unchanged, last trade down 1 1/4. September beans opened at $9, down 3 1/2, last trade down 3 1/2. November, 916 and a quarter, down 1 3/4, last trade down 3. January, 931 and a half, down 1 3/4, last trade up a quarter. July, 957, down 3 1/4, last trade up a half. September soybean meal opened at 250.40, unchanged, last trade down 170. October soybean oil opened at 37.78, down 12, last trade up 3. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
I guess today might be the calm before tomorrow's potential storm.
I would say so, yeah. People evening up or getting out of things ahead of it, not wanting to be run over one way or the other if reports different than expected.
Well, let's look at a few things. Let's begin with the corn market. It was a couple of weeks ago that we were saying, boy, the crop could be quite variable.
Yeah.
But as harvest has begun to kick up and people are taking another look in their fields, well, there's some pretty good numbers coming back in.
Through central Illinois, numbers are extremely good. We haven't really heard many numbers from anywhere else except the southern, deep southern, and there you had numbers all over the place. Haven't really heard many numbers from Indiana, but I've been told they'll have both good and bad. Haven't heard any yet from Iowa. But Illinois, through this central part, farmers are amazed at what they're bringing in, where they are harvesting.
What would you tell producers to do today ahead of the report in terms of marketing? What kind of advice would you have?
I would probably be doing nothing, waiting to see what the report said, then going with the flow on the report. Usually if the number is bigger, industry expects the number to then get bigger the next couple of times. So that would mean a bigger number tomorrow might push things down. But if that's expected, we don't expect to push it very far. We would be ready to replace what we'd sold tomorrow on down moves we still are looking at the old lows as a support, and we don't know if we can get within a dime of those.
Turn your attention to the soybeans. What are you seeing there?
Soybeans, we really don't have reports on those at all, and they're still worried about what the yields will be, whether it'll be as good, kind of like we were on corn a month ago with the much better corn. August, though, is the month for beans, and we really had places where they didn't get much. But from here north, lots of people got plenty of rain, so it's an unknown number. I think industry right now thinks they'll be about where USDA was or a hair higher. Usage, though, is the big thing, both on corn and beans, and that's what's driving the price higher is the usage.
So the calls for today, then, please.
Calls for today ahead of the report are 2 to 4 lower on beans, just because of the report and of where we've been lately. Corn unchanged to down 2, wheat unchanged to down 2.
Thank you much, Pete.
Thank you, Dave.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois.